Welcome to Dunkunsthal Gallery. Thanks everyone for coming out tonight. We want to thank Dunkunsthal Gallery and Rachel Rossen, the founder of Dunkunsthal Gallery, for hosting us here tonight. My name is Ray Tintori.
I'm Jordan Fish. Hello. Hi. Welcome. We got our friend Xander here and
hello.
Gonna watch some movies. Hi. And talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, basically what we're doing, yesterday we released episode 6 of our show. Me and Jordan have a podcast called To the White Sea. We're reading an unproduced script by the Coen brothers, 2 pages at a time. And our guest on episode 6 is one of my favorite filmmakers in the entire world, Xander Robin, who's here with us today. And basically, what we're doing is when we have a guest on the show, we have a format of the show. It's like formal analysis where we're reading the script and looking at other movies. But we say, there's this gallery downstairs from, we record the show upstairs. And so basically, extend the invitation to our guests. Is there anything you want to show? Is there an evening that you want to structure? And so Xander has kind of structured this night of films that he hasn't shown publicly before.
Mostly, yeah.
Okay, he'll explain what he's showing tonight, and that's what he wanted
to
do.
Ray asked me to be on his podcast. Yeah. I graciously accepted.
It
was a cool idea. And then afterwards, he's like, by the way, you have to do this screening. You must do it. You must come to New York. You must play all your movies. And I was like, I don't have anything to promote, really, because I'm working on we're all in the mentality of hoarding all the work we've made over the last years, not showing it to anyone. Maybe for tonight, we'll be generous and show some of the things we're working on, even though they're in,
You were shooting some of this last weekend, right?
Oh, I shot a bit last week. Yeah.
And, this is just the intro. This is Xander Robin. This is a Mutations in Nature.
Yes.
Hidden Florida Movies with Xander Robin.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, take it over.
Hidden. Okay, so I'm just gonna announce what we're gonna start with. I'm gonna show 2 shorts, and I'm actually breaking the rule. I'm showing the thing that everyone's seen already to start, but it's interesting to see how it mutates to all the other things that we'll watch after that.
Any Lance Lazzardi fans in here?
Woo!
Who hasn't seen it? Whoa,
good
okay.
Mix.
There we go. There we go. That's awesome. But yeah, thanks everyone for coming, by the way. More people than I expected. But you were right, it's a small space, it fills up. I exported that out a couple hours ago. It needs a mix, but it was cool to watch. We were going to start with 2 short films, and then I was going to play 2 other things that are not really short films. So after this, I really wanted to make a movie in the world of swamp buggies at a time, and then I wanted to go research there. And we went and filmed that, but for some reason, they were so reluctant to let anyone film there that they made us sign a contract that said, like, we couldn't release any of the footage that was shot there. And I thought they were like, they had a lot of rules, which I thought was interesting. But there was another location that I wanted to film for that movie that I actually ended up using for Chillin' Island. I don't know if you've seen this show, this redneck mud park was also kind of similar, but this one had no rules. That was the difference. And I can't tell which one I like more because this place had no rules and everyone was just freaking out. Oh, Dap, you were here. You remember that? They were required to have a flag on these vehicles. I guess I like weird vehicles, because if you get stuck in the pit, you need to have like an identifying flag. And we were just confused. I was like, I thought this was about mudding. I'm not sure why it became like a political display. People had like Kekistan flags. A lot of interesting ones. A lot of Trump Terminator, which I,
Can I ask one question?
Yeah, for sure.
Can you intro the 2 films that we just watched? Can you give us just brief explanation for anyone who just walked in?
Lance was already.
What were those?
It was just like I wanted to not take myself seriously at all and make an embarrassing movie, and then it ended up being like fun. And I was like, I grew up in South Florida. I was making stuff in New York. I used to live here, and I was like, maybe I should continue this exploration. And I was like, let's, make a serious version, which ended up being this movie I was trying to do called Swamp Queen, which I'm not doing, thank God. But if you see this, Z and I were in this competition together. We were the Hunger Games. We took place in this like film. It's not Project Greenlight, but it's like close to it. It's the the Venice version where we were literally on an island, pitching our films and competing to get 150,000 euros to make the movie, you know, which felt like a lot of money at the time. It felt very high stakes. If Z were here, she could testify to it, because she still, you know, I think she actually wanted to make her movie. I literally just pitched something and then they said yes. And then I changed it. And when I got there, they got really mad at me because they were like, we love your original. I don't know what you just sent us was. So I was like, okay. And then I went to the Swamp Buggy race and I was like, these people are like, they don't want to talk to me at all. And the original version of it was kind of neutered. I didn't include the nip slip thing or like the kneelers line. But now I'm just like, actually, you have to show who they are.
Because that footage was shot in 2018?
18, yeah, when I was figuring that out, yeah. But I just sort of finished it. I'm finishing it now. And it was, when you asked me to be on this, I had already been trying to finish it this year because I was like, it's time. But yeah, so Swamp Queen turned into this, which turned into me wanting to do a Lance Lazzardi movie, but like a more cinematic version. Some of these images, like I said, we're on Chillin' Island. And Lance is a character that I actually played in high school. I'm 16 years old here. So if anyone accuses, you know,
Lance is you.
Yeah, it makes more sense to make a movie about this guy versus like these swamp buggies, even though I like the texture. These are all the scripts I wrote. But yeah. Oh yeah, this just goes through the years.
Can you explain the filing?
I just wanted to show all, like, we have 2018, 2020, 2021, 2020, you know.
I think we're gonna have to put this. Maybe we gotta put this PDF online.
You know. So I'm excited about this script actually. But yeah, these are some images we made for the movie.
Okay, can you really explain for the, because okay, guys, we are also recording this and we're going to put this audio out on our podcast feed. Yeah. So for the listener at home who's not here tonight,
okay,
this is very visual.
Stages of a mutation, yeah, into a reptile being, yeah.
Did you draw this?
I drew like the bad version that someone drew a nice version of.
I would say what we're looking at is from like left to right going down. A normal human turning into
like a, I mean, I feel like it looks a little too Fantastic Four kind of here, but I think it, we're getting there, you know.
It's like a Studio Ghibli-esque drawing style.
Yeah.
It's like beautiful.
Yeah.
Normal hands becoming sharp.
Right.
Long becoming fingers.
Claws, yeah.
And there's this other image of, you know, hanging out with it's a gator bursting out of a python. And these are, yeah, I did a lot of research at these reptile trade shows. But yeah, I could just play this like sizzle thing I made, which I think is an interesting thing to do here, because these things are normally relegated to an email I send. But some of the more recent things I've made are footage I've shot just to like make a reel or to show something, show someone what I'm going for. So
kind of like the Rip-O-Matic that you...
Rip-O-Matics, yeah.
That you talked about on the podcast, yeah.
That's in there?
Yeah, it's in
you
there.
You kept it in. Yeah, yeah. Rip-O-Matics. And I made one for Chillin' Island. And yeah. So let's just play this thing.
Woo!
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Wow.
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah. So if you want to, it was officially announced on this YouTube channel, Florida Iguana and Tortoise Breeders.
Yes.
But yeah, I thought it was cool to play the first two shorts because you see how I'm like, you know, cannibalizing the footage in the sizzle. But you know, some real movies in there too.
Yeah, but that was so much more than like a sizzle because you had so much stuff that you'd shot yourself.
Yeah. It's like, you know, its own. I mean, I like the Rip-O-Matic stuff, but I think it's cool to show what you could do yourself a little bit.
It was sizzle and steak.
Yeah.
Can you explain for someone who doesn't understand the full context of this? Who you're sending that to, why you're sending it, how they're watching it.
I think it's this, you send the script and that, I think, is kind of like, you don't want to, some people send a deck and the decks are cool too, but I kind of just like the sizzle and then the script. Yeah.
Because at this point, you have a feature, you have a full script.
Yeah.
I've read the script. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just get the word out on the street. This is an incredible screenplay.
Yeah, this is a Zoom call where we're trying to raise money for a movie.
Seriously.
But yeah.
So that script exists. And
but
it's
I think
a wonderful
it's cool.
read.
I wanted to play because it's like I actually shot some material. Like in 2021, you could tell everyone's wearing a mask. And, you know, it's kind of some of it we're proud of. We actually shot on 35, that stuff, for the first time in my life, shooting on 35. And hard to tell. But I think the process is really fun. And yeah, I mean, it works for some people. It doesn't work for other people. Some people they're just like, I don't know. It doesn't convince them. But for some people, it works really well. So that's who we're making it for. And filming it. Oh, yeah. And then we have this. I got asked to do something to go deeper into this world. And well, that'll be the last thing we play. And
this is also a sizzle reel?
It's a sizzle, but it's different because it's entirely stuff I shot. And there's like scenes. It's like five
minutes.
Can I
ask you one question about that?
Just for a moment.
When you jump to stuff from other people's movies, when you're making a sizzle, you personally, when do you do it? Why do you do it?
Well, I started there. So the first thing I made was the rip thing. And I think for some people, it's like, sure, show me footage from all these amazing movies. Like, it doesn't convince me that you could do anything. So I was like, oh, I want to shoot my own stuff and I'll make a sizzle out of that. And then I did that and I was like, oh, it would be cool to kind of like put that at the end. And that's where we are.
Yeah. I feel like your sizzles are unique because they have a lot of original footage in them. And this one we're about to watch is all
It's all original footage.
Yeah. So it's like technically a sizzle, but
I think maybe there's
like
one.
A proof of concept maybe.
Yeah. So this is a Python competition that I joined last year and I filmed footage thinking I would make a sizzle, actually. Not even making a real documentary, just like trying to find characters and show what we're trying to do to make it this summer. Yeah. Thanks.
And what do you want to talk about now?
Amazing.
Whatever you want.
Your feature is straight scripted narrative.
Yeah.
And everything that we've seen from you since then,
it's like
is like a combination of doc and scripted stuff. So can you just speak on like process and how you've been diving into it?
In the feature, there's something that is documentary in that it's, I'm interested in the real world and I want to not be limited to the real world at the same time. Yeah.
Have you ever made anything that was like didn't have some documentary element or some narrative? Like, was anything ever all the way to one or the other side of that?
Did I ever just make a narrative movie?
Like non-actors in Are We Not Cats?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I made a movie in high school called Scrabble Time.
Yeah,
where we were playing Scrabble. That was what that still of myself was from. Yeah,
because there's stuff that feels like doc footage in Are We Not Cats, right? But it's for the most part, actors.
Well, that process actually started it in a weird way because we had to cast all these roles, and the best people for the roles were often not people on backstage.com, but people that we had met in the process of making the movie, and then we cast them in the movie, and they were great. And then I was like, okay, we got to go further with that. But all the stuff I was making in college was all normal narrative. And I was saying to you before, there was like the feature was like a culmination of all the things I was doing before. And then I kind of started from zero. And then we just sort of watched the beginning of zero to where we are. I mean, it was amazing for me to watch the Lazzardi short. It was much sillier than I remember it being. In my head, it's more like I forgot all the really silly parts of it.
Yeah. What was the silliest part on this rewatch?
Just like some of the stuff I said. Yeah. Some of the things that came out of my mouth. Yeah.
What does it feel like when you're playing that character versus when you're like imagining someone else playing that character when you're writing it or pitching it to people?
I'm just like, I don't know.
Do you know, you have no idea what's going to be funny or what's going to play?
That is true, actually. Yeah. It's a mystery in a weird way because the things I think are funny. Yeah. I was surprised at the stuff that people laughed at. Well, the Swamp Boogie thing was the first time I even played it for anyone. Like, I think five people have seen that before this, so it was interesting to see what people laughed at. I was just happy that people found I just find the whole thing very strange. Like the guy with the one arm winning and like jumping in the the sippy hole.
You don't know that they're going to jump until the moment that it happens.
Yeah. Like, to me, I knew that going into it. That's why I wanted to film it, because I was like, that's so crazy that that's what they do when they win. Yeah.
Well, okay. Maybe we throw the audience for some questions?
Yeah, because I had a question that I forgot.
You forgot it?
I forgot it, yeah.
Okay, so it's audience question.
We're
going
to get better at this. Don't worry. Yeah. We're all learning.
This is the second
show. I'm a tough customer, I think. Yeah.
No, you have a champagne personality.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, who wants to ask a question? Yeah,
over here. Are the subject matters and like the events of the film kind of like personal for you? Did you grow up around this kind of stuff? Or are you kind of just like researching things from surrounding areas?
Well, I didn't grow up with swamp buggies at all. Yeah, and so that was me just like, oh, like that's actual research. The redneck mud park is research. In the script I wrote, it's very personal. And, you know, we didn't have like pets growing up, but we were like, you know, reptiles are always crawling in the house, and it was always a huge process of like, we had to make sure we saved them. We like rescued them in like a way, and then we would let them free. And it was like and I would make habitats for reptiles in summer camp. I don't know if anyone went to summer camp. I had a weird phenomenon where I was like normal, cool, like not cool, but like normal in the middle in high school. But at summer camp, for some reason, I was like really uncool. I was confused. It was just like it gets like jockey there, I guess.
Were you away from home for the first time?
Yeah. And for some reason, you know, I created habitats for salamanders.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I remember what my question was. So for the Python documentary, how many days did you shoot on that? Because it almost feels like it's like a Nat Geo thing where you had like five crews all going out at once, which I would imagine is not how you actually produced this.
It was one crew. I think it's a 10-day event, and I went out 6 or 7 of the nights. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when you intercut it all, it's pretty intense to like see all that. Do you feel like you have enough material for a feature or?
So what I was trying to say is it's they have it every year, and you know who it's just to display what it could be, but yeah, what it'll be this year will be different, and also there's a story beyond like the 10-day event
about like invasive species and
this like hunt to kill invasive species is kind of like a fugazi in a way. Like it's just a publicity stunt. Yeah. It's silly.
No, that's really interesting.
But also I'm interested in the people that come and show up for it. Like the guy that came from San Francisco.
I have one question I want to sneak in before our audience question, but just when it was so visually beautiful, you know, and it's doc footage. So when you're going out there and you're shooting something that's completely unscripted, how do you get it to look that cinematic, or what's in your mind? Like, what are you telling your DP?
The Python stuff specifically?
Yeah, the Python stuff. It's amazing.
I think we were just blessed by having it be at night. Yeah. Cause it just, the flaring and all that stuff just gives it a look. And, we just sort of went with that and picked good lenses. Yeah.
But when you talk to doc filmmakers or anybody, they'll tell you shooting at night is like the hardest thing. So like, how did you control the light? How did you just kind of look for moments? Or
you asked the guy to turn his headlamp on. You know? Could you put the headlamp on your head? It's like, I wouldn't do that. I was like, could you just do it? And that's it. Yeah. But
I think it's really useful to know, actually. Okay. Does anyone else in the audience have a question?
My question is, I think all these Florida characters are just incredible, and I was curious, when what was his name, like Joe Exotica, was that the doc that came out like
King?
In 2020? Was that like
I watched it.
did you feel like there was like an awakening of this like Floridian culture, like people kind of like paying attention to that sort of undercurrent of you know, like, I don't know, like, did you have some feelings about that?
Well, I'm definitely trying to use any cultural moment to be like, is it my turn?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Can I get some money out of that? But I mean, Joe Exotic is from Oklahoma, I believe. But there is Tommy Crutchfield, who's like a notorious reptile dealer, is in the very beginning of that movie. And so there is a lot of that filmmaker is also making a movie about like a documentary about all the like reptile smugglers from South Florida. So yeah, I mean the documentary was cool to watch, but the only reason I would be inspired by it is like for cynical reasons to try to make money off of it. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're like very much? Do you have a choice of whether you're going to make your next like feature or your next project? They're going to be in Florida, no matter what, right?
This is actually probably the next thing I'm doing because I'm shooting it this summer, the doc. But you know, the Lance Lazzardi movie is my baby. Yeah, that I want.
It's Florida movies for the foreseeable future.
For the next like the next 3 or 4 maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you
like,
have
I want to do like an eco horror like trilogy? Yeah. There's another script I wrote that I, or like a idea I have that could be Florida, could be like New York, but I grew up there and I live there. The only issue is that the crew is all gone. The crew is all left to Georgia. There's because of tax credits. Yeah. There's certain people that are there from like, you know, the last people left in like 2018, 2019, they filmed a lot of TV shows there and it's gone.
Wow,
I don't know about the politics in Florida don't really want any film people, but I'm trying to sell like that the crew members, the people that work on Below the Line, are salt of the earth people. They're not blue voters. You know, I'll try to pitch that to the Florida Senate that they should put tax credits back in Florida. That's not gonna, because that's their fear. They don't want to bring in, like, they see what happened to Georgia. They don't want to bring in people that vote a certain way.
Okay, so you're in the Florida Senate and you're listening to the live podcast episode.
Have you been to the Florida Senate?
I've been trying to testify for like the tax incentive stuff, but no, I haven't yet.
You're filing?
No, I mean like
you want an
opportunity. I sent like 2 emails.
Yeah, 2 emails. Yeah. It's solid, I think. Yeah. Okay, maybe time for one more question. Who's got the final question?
I just wondering, because I got a very familiar feeling from that last one. Are you going like in the vein of Best in Show, but like a Southern reptile version?
That's a good idea. Well, Best in Show is fake, right?
Well, yeah, but it's also similar to like your work planted, where it's like kind of a documentary, like mockumentary, in the sense that it's like those are real people, not necessarily like actual people, but those people like exist. So it's like very much like you could still do a narrative story where it's like almost like an ensemble film where you're giving each of those hunters like their own like bit and character development, but also it's a narrative, so it's scripted and you have a through line.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to have like planted characters in there. Yeah, right. But the stuff in there is all real, and I love Best in Show. But it's a good idea. I'll take it, probably.
Lance Lazzardi loves reptiles.
Yes.
The people in this documentary, some of them really want to kill some snakes. But do you think Lance, like, what would he do in the middle of all that? Like, would he try to protect some of the snakes?
The character Jimbo that starts the piece with, he definitely is like at this point saying just leave it alone, because the animals that are in there will sort of adapt and figure out how to, because the pythons are kind of new, they've been there only last 20 years, and the mammals, like the other animals in the Everglades, will learn how to attack them. And so yeah, he kind of has more of the Lance view of like just leave it alone, don't like build any more roads to try to catch pythons. Don't waste any like government money on this. Don't create new programs that enrich people to go and catch pythons. It's just kind of a scam. Just like let it run its course. And they're, you know, it's our fault anyway. So,
are there any apex predators who are like seeing progress on this front?
What do you mean?
Like, is there like some kind of?
Well, they say the python is the head, but the panthers are kind of killing them too. But you know,
sounds cool.
There's a big conspiracy about the panthers. So, you know.
Wait, tell us a little bit.
Because they're not the Florida panther is like a hybrid panther now. It's, you know, they were endangered, but then they like bred them with cougars from Texas, and now they're like a more aggressive version of the original panther. But the thing is, they're the mascot of Florida, so no one's supposed to talk about how the panther being this really aggressive beast. So
I feel like you could win state senator if on that platform.
I think the salary is like $22,000, which is like more than I make now. But it's
supplemental supplemental income, you know, diversify.
Do you want to throw another question, or do you want to just end it? I think we should end it. This is the second one we've done, guys. I might be having
Thanks for
okay.
Thank you.
Here's the thing.
Thank you all.
After this, we'll be hanging out, and across the street, there's TJ Burns, which is a great place to hang out after. Mm-hmm. And we'll be here, and you can talk to Xander, and you can talk to us.
Yeah, and follow, subscribe to the podcast. Seriously, it helps us out. Listen to the show. You'll be able to hear Xander's episode and all sorts of stuff, and follow Xander on Instagram.
You don't need to follow him.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah.
Thank you so much for setting this up and sharing your movies with us. It was incredible. Okay. See you guys.
Thanks, everybody.